I want to clink glasses with you, Mike.
Fine. Yeah. No clinking. No clinking tonight.
I was being you.
Oh. All right. All right, let's see it. Okay.
We're clinking.
Cheers.
Salud. I like it.
I don't think I need a bitter in it. It's not super sweet.
No. I think it's bitter on its own.
All right. This is I'm going to say this is a honey walnut old fashioned.
All right. I feel like we make so many derivatives of old fashions.
Because it's easy.
Yeah.
You just get rye and then whatever.
But you have interesting liqueur or liquors, so.
Liqueurs? Yeah. This is a couple of liqueurs.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. So it's our good friend Bullet Rye.
Bullet Rye.
Bullet Rye. And a walnut bourbon liqueur.
Would you discover it? It's an artisanal, locally crafted liqueur?
Yeah, I don't think it's around here. I think it's from Washington or something. So it's not from this state. But
it's an artisanal, crafted locally somewhere else liqueur?
Yeah, some sort of small, batchy thing. It's delicious.
Mm.
And my first thought was that we could just drink that neat, which you can drink it neat, and it's perfectly fine. Yeah, yeah. I've done that, and it's a perfectly fine, neat sipping drink. So instead I went a little bit farther and we've got that, the Bullet Rye, and a little bit of the honey liqueur.
Yeah.
With begins with a B. I forget it. Baron Jaeger, something like that.
Yeah, sounds right.
It's a German.
Something German.
Yeah. I think it's Baron Jaeger.
Baron Jaeger.
So just to give a little honey and walnut taste.
So it's a honey nut old fashioned.
There you go.
Bam.
And they brought down some bitters in case we wanted to bitter it up, because I thought it might be a little sweet with the honey, but it's not really that sweet.
I'm going to try it because I like orange bitters. I'm just going to put a couple dashes on the top. I'll float them.
You're going to float them? You don't want to stir it in?
Nope. And that way I'll get a
crazy.
Whole, yeah. You know, Smike, we're never going to survive unless we get a little
bitter.
Crazy.
Oh, crazy. Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't really need it. Also, there's a lot of bitters to drink.
I guess so.
Hi, we are Buddies in Space. You are?
S. Michael Smith, and you are?
M. Michael Crossy. This is episode number 60.
Really?
60. Isn't that fucking nuts?
Yeah.
And we survived
last
episode.
I didn't even get sick or anything.
Yeah.
I didn't even get, like,
health tonic.
Indigestion.
Health tonic.
I'm going with black fungus. I think that's...
Black fungus and
the
health
black
tonic.
Fungus murdered everything else.
And the
and it was delicious.
It really was. It's still in the fridge.
I thought you would have eaten it by now.
No, I sort of was saving it in case we had any get-togethers.
Oh, okay.
Like, I really want... Erica flat out refuses to eat
because she doesn't
effervescent,
like the texture.
Yeah, she's like, I don't want to eat human flesh. I was like, it's just an effervescent Japanese nerd steward. What? That old chestnut.
But yeah, she tried the black fungus, and she did not like the texture of that, I don't believe. Did she? Or did she like it?
I think she didn't like the heat.
Yeah, it was pretty damn spicy. Mm-hmm. It was good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what's new with you? What's new with me? I just got back in town.
Yeah, we'll start with you.
I got back in town Saturday.
I feel like you want to talk about it.
Yeah, it's a thing that happened.
Yeah, you did. Well, look, you don't often travel for work.
I do not, because I have a nerd job, and it's not... You know, it doesn't require me to go out and sell anything or, you know, give any motivational speeches or anything like that.
That's strange that it seems like you're comparing that to my job.
I am.
Okay.
But it's nothing like your job.
Right.
In any way.
Mm-hmm.
Except that we both do sort of work with technical things. But that's a pretty esoteric similarity.
It's like you're the planet. You're technology planet major. Your technology major, and I'm the satellite or the moon that orbits technology.
Sure.
Like, I don't really roll up my sleeves and dive dick first into the tech. I'd say you're probably dick first in the tech most of the time.
How are you wearing your shirts that you need to roll up your sleeves to dive dick first into something?
All I'm saying is I got a really big dick. And you'd think the pant leg, but it's actually the sleeve gives you more
all right.
Measure. Telling you, look.
Leave that. Here, oh,
look,
okay.
Hey. Stick your leg out
put
there.
Put it back in your sleeve.
All
put
right,
it back in your
right,
sleeve.
All right. Jeez. Guys, so prudish.
Get it up there. So I went to Connecticut, which, you know, if I were going to choose a place to go, it probably wouldn't be Connecticut.
Right. Especially in, like, you know, the winter.
Yeah, it was cold. It was windy. I missed all the excitement here.
Oh God!
The giant windstorm. Did you notice our
tree missing?
No, it's dark. Yeah. When I came in, but I know you are minus one tree.
Yeah.
After the great windstorm of 2017.
Jesus Christ! Yeah, I was standing in the kitchen, you know, because I work from home, so I happened to like I could hear the wind down here. I can't hear torrential downpours down here, so I'm like, holy shit. I went upstairs, and I was just standing in the kitchen looking out the back window, and I hear, like, a sharp crack. And I'm like, what the fuck was that? I walk out.
It's like a thunder crack, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's very, just one quick, like, a very quick thunderclap. Yeah, but I went out to the front of the house and looked out, and I was like, oh, we are minus one tree. So, great.
But you got out. You manned it up.
Mm-hmm.
You manned it up with a chainsaw? Is that how that
Yeah, went down? And a tiny chainsaw, which actually, to be honest, took more manliness because it was way more fucking work to cut it.
Yeah.
So my neighbor, the way it fell was awesome. This was a 30, 35 foot tall tree. Mm-hmm. Like, it could have jacked
some
shit up.
What kind of tree is it?
It was a pine.
It was a pine.
Yeah. They have the roots that spread out and they don't go deep. That's why way more pines. Like, if you looked at our road, way more pines fell than any other kind of tree. But like the way it fell, it's right next to our driveway. It's within, hitting distance of our house and our neighbor's house. And there is a large electrical junction box. It was within about 5 feet of it. It did not fall on any of those things.
It just fell.
It fell in the one direction that wasn't going to block our driveway or the road. It just fell on the neighbor's lawn. So, the neighbor had a really nice guy. He had like a gas powered tree trimmer, which is an even smaller chainsaw.
Ooh.
But
you need that. You need the branches.
He went down the trunk. We started at the top of the tree and worked our way down to the base because it was too thick by the end.
You got to start at the top and work down to the base. I mean, that's the only way to do it.
No, I mean, it's very clear. You can't really see my hands, but it's you got to, because if you don't, then there's the possibility of it tipping on you. And then, you know, what are you going to do? Because it's all over you. So it's kind of like this Indian.
You got to worry about the tip.
The tip needs the most attention. The tip is the point of control for the entire shaft of the tree. Do we get there?
I think so.
Okay, good.
I think the point has been made.
The point has been pointed. Yeah, so he just like ran down and lobbed it down. And then I just came through and chopped, you know, chunks of it. And they came by with the bullet. Our taxes are horrible in this area, but they have great, you know, like...
They're really not. People say that, but they're really not.
Our taxes are very well proportioned in this area. They came by and took an entire tree's worth of chopped up branches and wood, you know, in 1 minute. Like that.
Yeah, for the area that we live in, the greater Rochester, in our case...
suburbs?
Eastern, southeast suburbs of Rochester.
Arguably towards the nicest part of Rochester.
Yeah, but they get even more expensive as you go farther out. To a degree. Like, you go out to Macedon or Palmyra.
Really?
Yeah, because there's no other source of revenue. There's no retail out there.
But the property values are lower, right?
A little bit.
So that you're technically paying less taxes for the amount, but... Okay,
yeah,
I kinda see.
But for a similarly priced property...
Well, yeah, then you're paying more.
You're paying more in taxes. Anyway, it sucks.
Well, they came by with a bulldozer, a bunch of dudes, and two dump trucks... Got that tree out of there. Didn't give us a bill. Didn't give us any trouble.
Well, you cut it down for them. I mean, that was...
Well, yeah, but they could have been like, well, that's too much wood, right?
They probably used it. They probably like, hey, this like free wood,
you know,
for something.
I don't care if they fucking stripped down to their skivvies and fucking stuck the tree sap to themselves and covered themselves in pine needles and danced around a campfire.
So you followed them and you saw what they
did? I'm saying
did.
I don't care if they did that. They did, but I don't care. They took my shit for me. Maybe I joined in. Whatever. They're a good group of guys.
Is that why it smells like pine in here?
It's a natural deodorant.
Okay.
Argue with me.
It smells wonderful. It's much better than normal. I mean, really.
The man
fungus nice.
In here?
Yeah. It covers it nicely.
I do want to get back to Connecticut, but I'm just sorry. Just remind me.
I don't want to get back to Connecticut. I'm done with that place.
Did you have lobster at least?
No.
Oh, fucking A, dude.
I wasn't even on the coast, really.
That's Maine. Like... It's Maine. It's not Connecticut.
Yeah.
That just reminded me of something. So, you know, being a kid, very, very poor growing up, we like never even had a real tree. We had like just one shitty fake tree every year for Christmas. But my mom would always splurge on one can of pine scented, like Glade. And it was like the most fun thing for us. She would just like dance around the house spraying it.
Your mom would?
Yeah. And we thought it was great. And we would, of course, idiotically follow her, like right in the wake of the aerosol, like smelling it as much as we could, breathing it in before you stop smelling it.
Nice.
We were just inhaling. Basically, we were huffing. But, you know, it's a very fond memory. So you're in Connecticut.
I was in Connecticut. It was so I could get some training. Nobody cares about that, though.
It was a very boring trip. I mean, event, right? Like,
yeah, it was 2 days of intensive school website stuff. And wow. Nobody wants to hear about that, so I'm not even going to get into it.
I fell asleep in one sentence. That's incredible.
So, yeah, it was, you know, it's been a while since I've been on one of the, on any sort of work-related trip. And I went with a couple of coworkers and... we drove up, and it was fine with me because the two of them were just pretty much talking to each other on the whole drive up.
Are these people you're close with?
Not really, no.
Okay.
No. I mean, I've been working with them for a while now, but I wouldn't say I'm close to them.
I just,
anyway, oh, the mental, you know me, I'm not a real social guy. Yes, I'm not a big talker. So having the two of them to yap at each other while I'm driving was great.
You don't mind that? That doesn't bother you?
It doesn't, because
there's... Does it drone out, or do
it's
you
like,
listen?
It's like a talk radio, you know?
But I would, but I would,
I could,
listen.
I was, you know, listening when I...
Oh, okay.
It, like I said, it's like a talk radio. It's a conversation that I could even join in a little bit if I wanted to. Not that I really wanted to, yeah. But yeah. So that was nice. Drove home by myself because the two of them, you know, fucked off to do their own thing after the,
they're dead,
after the
they?
Training. I don't think anybody's discovered that is true.
Okay. You can either confirm or deny.
I don't know anything about that. So yeah, the drive back was a little rough, a little bit harder to stay awake. Plus I was driving through snow coming back.
Oh, you had a job. You had a task.
I did.
On this trip.
I did. I had a quest, not a job, not a task, but a quest.
And there's a little backstory there. There was one night or one day, like a month ago. No, it was the night. It was a night. I think you were drunk. We had all hung out and you were leaving. We had like board gamed or watched TV or whatever. And you just really wanted Taco Bell for some reason.
I wanted a specific item from Taco Bell.
What was it? The Crunchwrap?
Is that what they're... No, I don't think that's what they're
Chalupa?
Called. It's the thing that is not in a shell, but it's a shell made of fried chicken.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Because Erica's been talking it up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why, did she have one?
I think she did. Or she... No, her friend did. Never mind.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, that's right. You wanted the fried chicken shell taco thing.
Yes. I mean, it sounds perfect to me.
Yeah, you know, I'm not gonna argue with
conceptually,
that.
Conceptually, you know, you've got... It's like a chicken nugget with taco stuff inside. I mean, it sounds wonderful, I think.
I have to say, when you say it like that, it actually sounds better.
So anyway, they've been playing them up on the commercials, and every time I see one, I'm like, God damn it, I want to have one of those. But my wife, wonderful person that she is,
firmly put the kibosh on
it. It's like, nope, you're not going to have one of those.
All you wanted was drunk Taco Bell.
I know.
Which never works out well in the end.
It didn't. And to her credit, she did prevent me from making that mistake. Yes.
But you still want this.
I did. I was like, I'm going to have one. And when I'm on this trip, I will not be under my wife's watchful gaze, and I will have my opportunity.
Wait, so your wife has homosexual friends that keep an eye on you?
What?
Watchful gaze.
What?
Never
mind. Is that a reference to something?
No, I'm just making a joke. I'm sorry.
Oh, watchful gaze. Okay.
Wow, ruin that one for me. Thanks. Wow. Okay, go on.
No, that one's on me. I should have picked that up. That was good. Well done.
Dangerously close to a sarcastic clap. All right, go on.
So
you drove back in snow. You're doing a lot of driving.
I'm done. I'm done, and it's Friday night. And
you failed to get it on the way.
I didn't get it on the way because, you know, I had people with me. I didn't want to make them go to Taco Bell.
You didn't want them to stink nice up person. Your car.
Well, okay, there's what, that.
Yeah.
There's that. So it's the night after the train's done, and I'm like, I'm a free man because I'm not driving home that night. Because I'm like, I'm going to stay and sleep a night. It isn't really a great, you know, prospect to stay in the hotel one extra night. But I don't want to drive home at night.
No, yeah, that makes sense to me.
So I go out. I go out to a mall. Oh, not for some reason, because it's stupid cold out, and I don't have any other place to go. that's warm. So I go, I find the nearest big mall and just walk around. I'm like, all right, it's going to have a mall. It's going to have a food court. Food courts always have
Taco Bell.
Don't they?
Yeah.
They do. And it did.
Okay. So this wasn't like a super upscale mall.
It was nice. It was a nice double-decker sort of mall.
Eastview does not have a Taco Bell.
They don't? I thought they did.
They did get rid of it. No. I'm at Eastview every like week or two. Trust me. They don't have a Taco Bell.
Anyway. It was a big double-decker mall.
Multiple food courts? Or one giant central one?
The food court actually wasn't that big. But anyway. But they had a Taco Bell. They had a, what?
It sounds like a done deal here. What went wrong?
I go, and I look at the menu. I'm like, I don't see it.
Oh, no.
I don't see it. So I'm like, God damn it. And I figure this must be, because, you know, sometimes the mall limited, version has like a more limited menu.
Like the Friendly's Express.
Yeah. So it's like, it's like some stupid Taco Bell Express or something.
Which is another reason why malls suck.
Right. Though it was very frustrating. I ended up going to a place not in the mall, but called the Artisanal Burger Company, I think. I was like, oh, I gotta go there.
Did everyone working there have really long beards and
No, wear everybody beanies? There was a woman, and only a couple of them had beards. So
okay,
no.
But I'd still farm to table beard.
It was probably a lot of farm to table. So I made the colossal mistake, and I was trying to be, you know, like sort of good, and not go nuts.
Okay.
And I was like, you know what, this salmon burger actually sounds kind of good. It was a bad call.
I do not like where this is going.
It didn't go anyplace good. Because I was thinking it was just going to be like a salmon filet, you know, a nice, well-cooked piece of salmon.
Nope.
Between buns.
Not in a burger place.
With, you know, they had like a nice dill sauce.
So was this shaved salmon in a patty?
Yeah, it was a salmon patty.
Yeah.
And it was so dry. And I'm sure I sound pretentious for saying that, but... You know, you go to some place that's like artisanal.
What? Something. Okay, no, you're when they have artisanal in the fucking name of the restaurant, you really should be expecting fireworks in your mouth.
I should.
You know,
I should. If any place is going to give me a good salmon burger,
yeah,
this would be the place. But no, it was shitty and dry.
That's disappointing.
I know. I should have gone with the damn chorizo burger. That was my...
How did you not get the...
I know. Smite, I was trying to be
chorizo
good.
Chorizo Smith.
Because I'm thinking I'm going to have Taco Bell later. Tomorrow. As I'm driving home. Anyway, I'm driving home the next day. And I'm like, okay, there's a rest stop here. I need to go. I need to stop. I need to get some gas. I need to take a leak. And there's a Taco Bell here. Boom. I am in.
And?
Full-sized actual Taco Bell. I go there. I look at the menu. I don't see the thing.
Is it done?
I asked the girl. I was like, "Hey, where's that thing that's just a chicken and it's the stuff is in the chicken?" And she like looks at me for a minute. And is like, "Oh, the blah blah blah, whatever the hell she called it." Uh-huh. Yeah, they're discontinued.
No,
like, no.
They probably killed.
They're
people.
Discontinued. How bad does something have to be for Taco Bell to discontinue it?
Smike, I gotta tell you, I think...
Did I dodge a bullet here?
I feel like you're a little bit... You're gonna live a little longer than you would have had you succeeded in your mission at any given time. I will drink to that.
And I swear, the person in line, right after I got my order, the next person came in, asked the very same thing. Nope, discontinued.
Wow.
So I don't know. I sense that there was demand for this, judging by my, you know, 2 minutes of data in the Taco Bell.
After countless seconds of empirical research that I have selflessly conducted myself, I feel qualified and quantified to say that at least one other person besides myself demands this product return.
Yes. But no dice. I got a Mexican pizza instead. I like the Mexican pizza.
I take back the comment about you living longer.
No, they're delicious.
Well, yeah.
They are. But no, I did not. It looks like now I will never, ever get my chicken stuffed taco thing.
That's a bummer. How could they fuck that up to the point they have to discontinue it?
I don't know. It seemed like it just came out.
It hasn't been around that long. You fry chicken, you stick your normal shit in it. Like, what?
I don't know. They were probably, like, making people shit themselves inside out or something.
Wow. Have you shat yourself inside out today?
I mean, more so than the regular Taco Bell fare.
Right, exactly.
So that was disappointing. Also, somebody also stole my credit card number.
What?
Over the phone. It was, I got scammed in the hotel room.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And you fell for it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, nice.
So, guy calls me, and it's like at like 8 o'clock or something in the morning. So, it's a little early on a Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
I get the call, you know, you're in the hotel room, the phone starts going off and lighting up, and you're like, who the fuck is this?
Right.
Like,
did I ask for a wake-up call? Because that's the only reason someone's
calling. I mean, who calls you in a hotel room anymore?
No one.
Because you have a cell phone.
Scam artists.
Like, exactly. Or, obviously, hotel staff.
Well, wake-up calls.
Yeah.
I always order a wake-up call when I travel.
Okay, so... I answer the phone. I've been awake for a little while, but I'm, you know, it's morning, so sure. I'm not, you know, 100%. And the guy starts saying, Mr. Smith, I'm sorry to bother you so early, but we're having a problem with the credit card that you've used, and, it's coming up as invalid, and we need to try to get this resolved if you don't mind. So.
Pretty good, you know, all right.
It was a solid pitch.
Yeah.
And it kind of pissed me off a little bit.
Sure.
Because it wasn't my credit card. Because this is a work trip.
Work, right.
And it was paid for by the office. And the two other people who were traveling with me would have had the same problem.
Right.
But he didn't say anything about that. And right. I'm asking about this. Like, well, if it's a problem for me, why isn't it a problem for these guys? Because I'm getting like defensive about it.
Sure.
And... He's like, yeah, and he's like, you know, we need to get this resolved now. I'm sorry, and I've got like somebody from corporate who's watching me right now.
Oh my god, they're really pulling out the stops here.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna come down to the desk and resolve this.
Nice.
And it was more a matter. Well, it was a couple of things. I mean, there is in the back of my head is like, don't give your credit card over the phone.
Never
do, and just don't. I mean, if somebody's calling you.
Right.
If you call somebody else to buy something, that's different. But never, 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 never give your credit card number or anything like that.
To someone who's called you.
To someone who's calling you.
Yeah.
Ever.
Unless you know them.
Yeah. And even then, just don't.
So did they freak out when you were like going down the desk?
He didn't really freak out. He said...
I don't want to inconvenience you.
No. He said, like... he said, well, I'm just going to have somebody from security come up to your room. And I don't know if that was like supposed to be like a threat thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, whatever. Do what you got to do. I'm coming down there. So, and as I'm like, I'm putting clothes on and getting ready to go down to the desk. I'm like, it's more and more occurring to me. Like when I get down there, they're not going to know anything about this.
Exactly.
They're not going to have any idea what I'm talking about. And sure enough, I get down at the desk and, you know, I don't think there's a male working at the desk this morning.
Right.
And they don't know who it was. As it turned out, what I am like 90% sure happened was, I usually, when I book a hotel room for myself, I use my actual first name, which is the S.
Right. Yes.
Yes. And that wasn't what happened this time because everybody knows me my Mike at work.
Right.
So they booked me as Mike Smith.
Okay.
So what I am pretty sure happened was guy called in. The hotel policy is they will not transfer calls unless somebody knows your first and last name.
Okay.
So I think they just took a shot in the dark. Is there a Mike Smith there?
Okay.
I think it's as simple as that, and that's how they got in.
Huh.
They were just taking it, you know, they were rolling the dice, and it came up aces for them.
Well,
I know that's a mixed metaphor, but yeah.
All of the gambling metaphors.
But yeah, I don't know how else they would have targeted me or, you know, hit me like that. and not anyone else.
But so nothing got stolen.
Nothing got stolen.
No. You just, someone tried to fish you.
Yeah. And the front desk people were freaked out. They're like, one of them was like, I've been working here for 9 years and nothing like that's ever happened. That you taking her at her word. So yeah, I think they just took a shot in the dark and hit the most common first and last name that they could. And,
I guess they almost got lucky. I guess if you just have a list of like hundreds of hotel or thousands of hotel.
Yeah. You could just keep doing that.
And
yeah. And eventually you'll get a hit.
You will.
And eventually you get a hit that's stupid.
Right. Not this Mike Smith.
Woo!
This Mike Smith is moderately smarter than
yes.
them. At 8 a.m. I mean, to be fair.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, that voice in my head, don't give a credit card number over the phone. Keep that voice in your head.
What did the voice sound like?
You shouldn't give a credit card number out over the phone to somebody who's calling you.
That's like the nerdiest, like most shy.
It is.
Okay, that's good.
It's not a screaming voice. It's no. You know, it's like a, you know, it's just kind of trying to remind you politely.
Politely.
Yeah.
But naggingly at the same time.
Yeah, it's urgent, but it doesn't require shouting.
Contained.
Yes.
Its point is made.
Yeah.
I kind of imagined a jingle. Like, you know.
So, yeah, that was the most exciting part of... Are you going to do the jingle?
Well, you ruined it now, so...
All right, do a jingle.
1-800, don't give your motherfucking credit card number over the phone. It would have been better if you hadn't interrupted me.
Sure. Blame me. Blame me for that.
Huh? Isn't that what we do? Isn't that the whole point of this podcast? This is not called Friends in Space.
So yeah, that was the most exciting part of my trip, was almost getting scammed for my credit card.
Wow. Living on the edge. Living dangerously.
Know, right?
You almost lived a fucking real life version of Taken, my friend.
Almost getting a highly promoted special Taco Bell.
possibly toxic waste food product. Yeah.
So I dodged 2 bullets on the trip.
Yeah, so basically you had no actual excitement. You just missed excitement.
Yeah.
All right.
But bad excitement.
But bad excitement.
So, how was your week?
I completely redid our network. So we bought...
You mean at home?
Yeah, here? We bought the Orbi setup.
The Orbi?
Yeah, see it over there. You gotta look over there. See the big white tower over there? Okay.
So you opted not to go with the Google network.
Because, Erica did not want it.
Because it was too strong.
It's too hot.
From what you were saying.
Yeah.
Because the circle would be, the radius would be too wide.
No. It's like 6 or 3. It's a whole bunch of them. It's a true mesh network. But Google, so when I read the reviews, they were like, the people who recommended Orbi did a comparison of like Orbi, Google Home, and one other one. And they were like, yeah, we were a little concerned when the Google rep warned us. They said, we know you're going to do heat mapping. Just be aware that the satellites are going to appear really hot. And they showed it, and it's like nuclear strength fucking Wi-Fi. And, you know, we want another kid. We don't, Wi-Fi, kind of got to wonder about that shit. So Erica's like, you're not getting Google Home. So I shopped around. I looked at the heat map strength. It's the right amount of like spread versus incredible concentration. it's expensive as fuck. It was almost $400.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But there's 2 satellites. It covers 4,000 square feet. I haven't done backyard testing, but I can go down to the walk in the front of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I can go all the way to the side concrete patio. So the coverage is way better than it used to be. Speed's better. But I also got to give a big old fucking middle finger to Time Warner and finally bought my own modem and got that up and going. And that felt great.
So do you notice a difference?
Erica, or
do you just notice the difference of not having to pay him?
I noticed that I'm no longer paying into the $400 modem that I figured out and cried when I saw what I paid for. Piece of shit. So mad at myself. I have noticed a slight improvement in terms of just general stability, but it was really for Erica because we had a very old Apple setup with an extender. And as anyone who's ever dealt with an extender knows, they suck balls.
Yeah.
So she was wholly reliant on the extender.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so bad that, like, she sat with the extender right in her desk. Probably not healthy. Also, I've been bathing my testicles in Wi-Fi from the base station for years now, sitting here at home. So I'm kind of glad that Orbi's away from me now. But she had the Wi-Fi frame that I bought her and her laptop and her phone. And they all had terrible Wi-Fi because the extender is so bad at what it does.
Uh-huh.
But this is a... it's a quasi mesh network. So a true mesh network is every satellite.
Well, you're probably doing the extender wrong because you want it between you and the source, not like right next to you.
Well, we wanted the extender to be in the weakest area. Yeah, I probably could have moved it further down, but it doesn't matter. Because
so yeah, you want to think of it as a chain. Like you got the source, the main modem,
yeah,
where the main Wi-Fi, and then farther out the extender, and then farther out where you're actually doing stuff.
Nah, I didn't do that. It sucked.
So, I mean, right next to you kind of defeats the purpose. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, we got a much better Wi-Fi.
Okay, well, good for you then. Yay.
But this is tri-band, so the satellite is now in the dead center of the house. So we are doing that thing correctly. But the nice thing about this that makes it kind of mesh-like is there's a dedicated third band that only communicates between them. So rather than an extender, which just sits in the network, this actually has a direct 5 gigahertz connection between the two.
Okay.
A true mesh is like 6 nodes that all share bandwidth and talk to each other.
Right.
This is sort of a quasi-mesh, but the reviews were good. But the modem is the best part because this used to be an oven, mm-hmm. this cupboard right here, this cabinet. Mm-hmm. And now there's like no heat at all in here. I can keep it closed again. They used to like vent it out. But yeah, Time Warner used to fight you about the modem thing.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they don't give a shit anymore. They want out of the hardware game.
Huh.
So they made it.
We should probably take a look at that then, because
I would really recommend it.
Modem for a long time.
Yeah, if you figure out what you've spent on it, I got a $45 modem that seems dynamite, and it'll pay for itself in 4.5 months.
Okay.
Because we never used the phone. Yeah. So Netgear modem, Time Warner tells you compatibilities.
Mm-hmm.
It's very. You could spend 10 minutes and get the exact model you need. I guarantee it will pay itself off within a year.
Hmm.
If you have VoIP through Time Warner, you can get a modem that will do that. It'll be a little pricier. I
say all this, we might actually have our own modem because my wife does all the network stuff at our house.
Knowing Mel, I would think you probably have your own modem.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
But I just like, I let her, you know, do whatever she wants. And yeah. I get Wi-Fi wherever I am in the house. It works out.
Your 15 tablets all connect, so your yeah. one Hangout message like shakes the house because it goes off so many
bing,
times.
Bing, 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 bing.
I love how we like have to remove, like when one of you is napping, the other spouse will remove that person from our Hangout thread because it's so loud to include them.
It's a problem.
It's a first world problem. But yeah, so far, I really have to recommend it. It's not cheap, but the Orbi network, I did everything in 1.5 hours. Completely installed and extended the new network, got the new modem up. Everything took 1.5 hours. It was super easy.
All right. And you're not a network guy.
No, I mean, I know.
I mean, you kind of know what you're doing. But
I've like, you know,
well, I'm saying,
put shit in static IPs and done DMZ. Like, I understand that shit. But yeah, I'm not like a hardcore networking guy. I don't work in the network engineering center or anything.
Right. Because you would have known where to put an extender if you did.
Fuck that shit. Shit sucked.
They do suck anyway.
Yeah. I know they suck because the Orbi doesn't.
All right. Well, good. Congratulations.
Thank you. And we watched, we watched Zoolander 2 last night.
Why?
It was in I put it in our queue like a year ago.
Why? So, why would you do that?
So, okay. There's a certain warning sign I've come to recognize with sequels that like you know within 2 minutes it's going to be a bad sequel. And back me up here. There are the sequels that like someone had a good idea and they like write it well enough that it just sort of organically is a sequel. Right? It just keeps the story going and you don't need preamble.
Such as?
Empire Strikes Back. I don't know.
Okay.
It just feels like it keeps the story going.
They're kind of rare, though.
I agree.
As far as sequels go.
And then there's most sequels, which spends the first 5 minutes...
I would say Terminator 2.
Sure.
Great sequel.
Great sequel, right? Felt justified.
Yes.
Right? Rogue One, which you haven't seen, had that going for it. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of preamble. Felt justified.
Mm-hmm.
The first 5 minutes of Zoolander are preamble. It's just trying to cram.
To justify its existence?
Yeah, like to cram plot and to be like, oh, we're a different movie, but here's everything that happened since the last movie. That thing, which is very, never a good sign. Like, there's bad signs and there's like, oh my God, this is a train wreck sign. And it was an, oh my God, this is a train wreck sign.
Yeah, One of the movies that always comes to mind about like stupid things that sequels have to do sometimes.
Okay.
is the Karate Kid sequel.
Two?
Yeah, Karate Kid 2.
I honestly don't remember what it did.
It's okay. You don't have to remember it.
Okay.
But at the end of Karate Kid, which was, I love Karate Kid.
Great movie.
It was a great movie.
Yeah. Fuck you. You're un-American if you don't like it.
But at the end of the movie, he defeats the bad kid, the bully.
He gets the girl. He develops self-confidence.
Self-confidence. He has a new father figure.
Doesn't like things get better with his mom. Like,
he gets a car.
Yeah. Fucking Ralph Macchio's the man at the end of that movie.
Everything comes up aces. The beginning of Karate Kid 2.
Every 80s movie does.
What do they have to do?
I don't remember.
They have to get rid of the girlfriend. So it starts off like, oh, my girlfriend's a bitch and I just broke up with her.
They killed off the wife in Zoolander. Uh-huh. Go on.
They have to do that. I mean, I'm just going to stop there because that was like the thing that pissed me off the most.
Yeah. Is that like killing Newt in...
Yeah, it's exactly... I
know that about you.
killing like, Newt you in know Alien that great, 3. You know the happy ending on the last movie you watched?
We're going to shit Fuck on you. That yeah. exact aspect of the happy ending. The happiest thing will be shat on.
So it doesn't just ruin the sequel. It retroactively ruins the movie that you'd like to begin with.
That's a good point. It's true.
Because next time you see them, oh, they're happy now, and they're just going to break up in 2 weeks. Nah, fuck you. they saved Newt. Nah, she's going to die anyway.
No, she's going to die horribly. they killed his wife in the beginning, in preamble, backstory.
Zoolander's wife?
Yep.
All right, that seems a little unnecessarily dark.
They needed to pave the way for Penelope Cruz.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, it's the same thing with the Karate Kid, because they've got a...
He had Elizabeth fucking Shue. Why replace Elizabeth Shue?
I don't know.
She's adorable and hot. She's kind of like the hot girl next door. You know, like there's the girl next door and it's like, because there was a lot of, I feel like 80s movies were full of girl next doors. Maybe a little kooky, but like not, I won't say hot. But Elizabeth Shue borders on like hot.
But then he had to get the Japanese girl in the sequel.
Ah.
Because they went to Okinawa. Angle. Yeah.
That's right. It was in Japan. For some weird reason. And then Hilary Swank was in the fourth one?
Oh, Jesus, I don't know. I didn't watch that one.
Yeah, because Ralph Macchio did three. Yeah, and then the fourth one was Hilary Swank.
I didn't even...
And then the fifth one was a remake of the first one with Jaden Smith.
Yeah.
Will Smith's son. Yeah, I think I tapped out after three.
I tapped out after three also. I think I probably even saw three in the movie theaters. Which wasn't really a good call.
It's really open.
Oh, yeah.
I can't recommend Zoolander 2. You know, I tried to drink myself into enjoying it.
So did you actually watch the whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
So I have not seen it, but I'm just going off of what I've read about it.
Okay.
Which is that his relationship with his son is awful.
Yep.
And he's a terrible father in it.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. The child but services...
it's not like there's no redemption in there.
Redemption.
Like for his, he doesn't like become a better father. He just becomes sort of a little bit less of a dick, but still a dick to his son.
Yeah, his son gives a good.
Not
dick.
To spoil the movie.
Child Protective Services takes his son away from him early in the movie.
Okay.
Which seems completely justified. Yeah. Actually, the scene that the way they explain it in the preamble is pretty funny. But yeah, him getting it, like his son is actually probably my favorite part of the movie because the kid's just, is really smart because he takes after the mom. Because, you know, whenever you have these kind of movies, it's like, well, the kid has to be the re-embodiment of one of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just like calling Zoolander and all this stupid shit that no one really does normally. So that was probably my favorite part of the movie. But yeah, there's like a prophecy and Justin Bieber. Sting, they make a tantric. He makes a tantric sex joke because it's Sting, and it's like, so basically, I decided I was gonna try to drink myself into enjoying the movie, and Erica was like, "I'm just going to enjoy all the celebrity cameos." So we each found our thing to get through the movie.
Okay.
And Benedict Cumberbatch was, heck, almost stole what little he was in.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't do comedy very much, but he did a pretty funny scene. But yeah, I can't recommend the movie.
No.
It did not feel justified in its existence, which is always a sad.
It wasn't justified. I'm sorry, you mentioned don't look at me like that. I'm really afraid now. No.
Just gonna reach for this hatchet.
Not touch the hatchet, Mike. I gotta go.
I'm sorry, this strange ball guy broke into my house and sat down and started drinking liquor in my office. I had to hit him a bunch of times with a hatchet. Yeah, so I have a slew of first world problems, as I was bitching to you today.
Yeah, I know. They announced the new LG G6, which was coming out next month.
Yeah, well, I had already written that one off, but yeah.
Okay.
As soon as I heard there was no replaceable battery.
It doesn't have a replaceable battery. And it doesn't have the probably the thing that you were most looking forward to, which is the quad DAC.
Yeah.
Digital analog converter.
Yeah. Which, absolutely.
And it's weird because it's only in the U.S. market. The international version gets it.
Right.
Yeah.
Is the V20 not international? Like, I don't.
No, it is.
How does that make any sense?
I don't know. They do different features for different markets.
Well,
now.
I read, yeah, that's true, because the Huawei Watch 2 like is LTE in some places and not in others. I did read something interesting that does kind of back that up, and that is that the thinking is now that the V30 is the true LG flagship phone this year, and I think that does have the quad DAC based on the rumors. So I'm wondering if they don't want to cannibalize the V30.
Probably, maybe not. The G6 is getting really good reviews, though, for what it is.
Not the G5?
For not the G5, I mean, obviously...
No, I mean, it's not the G5, so...
Well, yeah. I know what you mean. Okay. It's not modular,
right.
Which was a stupid thing to do.
The modular design
is like, it's like a sign of desperation.
When a company does that... I like it, but no one does it well.
Nobody does it well. Nobody gives a shit. They don't work out. All the proprietary modular pieces, nobody ever goes for that. And it's like the stink of desperation when somebody comes out with a product like that.
Because they have to come up with a fucking new phone every year. It's stupid. But anyway, I really want the V30.
But the G6, to talk it up for a second, it's got a different ratio screen. It's got a 2:1 ratio screen.
That's right.
Or 9:18 or whatever the
it's
hell.
It's some weird.
I know.
Yeah,
it's like, it's 2:1. Just say fucking 2:1.
It sounds small.
It's taller.
Right.
It's a little bit taller and a little more narrow, but all the reviews are like,
which sounds like
great.
If you actually wanted to talk on it like a phone, that would be good.
Yeah.
Because these things are so fat that I feel like I'm like
right.
slapping my face with a fucking spatula.
It's a 5.7-inch screen, which is the same size as mine, but the bezels are much smaller.
Yeah, it's got
and it doesn't have the second little screen that the Vs have.
Right.
So it's a very compact 5.7-inch phone. And people who want something like that are probably going to love this one.
Yeah, and it's got the waterproof because it's not replaceable battery.
There's no replaceable battery, so it's waterproof, it's IP, whatever, something.
You know, knock on wood, I've never dropped my phone into water.
I haven't either. But who knows?
So I don't give a shit about that phone.
Yeah.
I want
anyway,
quad
I'm just
deck.
Saying it's a good phone. It's probably going to be a good competitor to the whatever Samsung's doing.
Right, the S8.
Yes.
Sate. But I have firmly want to. I want a DAP. I want a high definition digital audio player.
Right. So you're waiting to see if the V30 comes out and looks like it's
my
a good
life
step
is
above the
full
V20.
Of this. I could pull the trigger now on something, but I'm waiting and being mature and saving up and seeing about the next thing. That's all my life is right now, and it's driving me fucking insane. So I very much want the
V20.
So
you're not really patient. You're just sort of stuck in a holding pattern.
No.
I think there's a difference.
No, because if I were that impatient, I'd just pull the trigger and not wait. You're not giving me credit where credit is due.
All right, I'll give you a little credit.
You got to give me at least medium credit.
Okay. You have medium credit now.
I will accept medium credit. Is that like a 700 credit rating?
It's medium credit, all right?
I don't know what that
it's
means.
What you asked for.
What's the end scene?
You asked for medium credit and I fucking gave it to you.
Can I get high credit? Going once, going twice.
No.
Fuck you. So the V20 kind of has everything I want, but the V30 might be better and maybe it'll come with fancy headphones for free. So I'm waiting to see about that later this year.
Yeah.
You and my friend and coworker Mel both agree that you shouldn't buy a first, version of a drivetrain. So I'm...
Oh, we're talking about cars now.
I'm going through the list.
You've switched gears.
I've switched...
To talking about cars.
Slap you senseless. No, that was good.
No, that was legit.
That was legit. Yeah, I'll give you that. So I have been a good boy and saved up a ton of money towards a new car, and I'm ready to make a substantial
down payment. You're driving a 10-year-old car now.
11.
11, okay.
It is now 11 years old. Still, actually, knock on wood, runs great, but...
And you hardly ever drive anywhere.
Well, that helps, yeah. Always engage e-brake, and
which
I get all my...
Which makes it a little silly to buy a super nice car.
Does it?
Yes.
Does it?
Yes.
I'm not buying a super nice car. I'm not buying a Beamer or a Lexus or even a Volvo.
All right. You asked me about Volvos. Was that on the air or was that just...
No, it was on the side.
So yeah, you were looking at... you asked about a Volvo.
The V60.
V60.
Because they make good station wagons and it's entry-level luxury and I could almost afford it.
Yes.
Especially in a couple months if I waited.
It's great. I as I told you, it's like driving a very sporty couch around.
Which definitely made me not want it. So well done there.
You're super comfortable.
You saved me like 10 grand, so thank you.
And it's more luxury than sporty.
Right. I get it. It's not like driving an Audi or a Mercedes station wagon, which I'll never afford.
Or a BMW.
But they don't make station wagons anymore.
Well, okay. Mine is like a little station wagon.
Yours is a fucking crossover.
It's a 3 Series wagon on stilts, okay? That's all it is.
The 3 Series doesn't have a wagon. The 3 Series has a glorified hatchback.
All right, fine. It's a hatch wagon.
What's your car?
It's technically a wagon.
It's a hagen.
No, it's technically a wagon.
It's a wetch.
It's a short
it's
wagon.
A wetch.
It's a schwagen.
You drive a wetch. the all-track manual finally came out at the beginning of this month.
You're talking about the Volkswagen Jetta.
The Volkswagen? No. That's done.
Oh, it's the Golf All-Track wagon.
This is the Golf All-Track, not the Golf Sport wagon. Very specific.
It's a sport wagon with a different trim level.
And raised. And
yeah.
All-wheel drive. And
yeah.
No, it's a different car.
It's not a different car. It's
what I tell myself to sleep at night.
Slightly different features.
So they finally released the manual transmission, but now it's in my head because you and Mel both told me don't get the first edition drivetrain. So I'm waiting, but then I'm also hearing they may discontinue manuals, but I'm waiting until for a month. They announced the All-Track at last year's New York City Auto Show. The refresh of the Golf is coming. It's got a lot of tech. It might have new drivetrains and engines. So I'm waiting another month. So it's like, I could go buy order the exact All-Track I want now, but I'm waiting. And if I know that they're going to release a manual this year in the next model year, because they made you wait an extra half year for this one.
Yeah.
Because they weren't ready in their facilities.
Okay. But nobody gives a shit about that. Who's listening?
Yeah, they
do. What they do care is that you drove a fucking race car around.
I drove a go-kart.
Okay. I'm trying to play this up for you, man.
I still want to talk about
you were racing it. You were on a... No, man. This is exciting. You raced a car.
Why did your
wife.
Why did you not drive it?
I don't know. I don't think I received enough goading, I think, to
Was I supposed to goad you?
I think you were.
I'm sorry. We had to leave. We couldn't even race with them.
I know. It was a weird situation for me, and I know Mel wasn't gonna race. She wasn't.
Of course she wasn't gonna fucking race. Fucking leave her in the dust. You gotta grow a vagina and get out there, dude. Goddamn.
I felt like I should just, stick with her and...
She wasn't even sitting with you. She was videotaping by herself.
Just for a second. Most of the time we were hanging out together.
You lost.
Anyway, you didn't goad me. That's all I'm saying.
We were watching the time waiting for our race to come up, so we had to run home to our
excuses, excuses, excuses.
Yeah, I still had a fucking vagina and went out and drove it.
Anyway, so what was that like? You were in a... These are electric... go-karts.
Yeah, these are the
indoor
adult,
track.
These are the adult go-karts.
Yes.
If you've ever worked in a go-kart place, you know what that means. Because they had the kiddie ones.
It means they're fast.
They went 45 miles an hour.
Which in the tiny little space that you were in.
It's fucking fast.
It seemed really fast.
I did spin out a few times. Just trying to push, to see how much grip the tires had. I almost hit Erica at least once. Bear was like, I'm trying to increase my lap speed, but I'm not going to like smash into my wife. Because she was not going fast.
No.
She came in last on lap time.
She was going a little slow.
Yeah. Stu and I tied in our respective races.
Oh, cool.
In a ranking. And Brent and Erica were the last in their respective races. I thought it was funny. Yeah, it was fun. Taking the corners was fun. And you get to... it's always like you intellectually, you're like, I understand how to drive fast.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're up against inertia and like how much grip and slip you're dealing with and that kind of thing, it's a very different thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when there's other fucking people trying to pass you or in your way.
Right.
Like my lap time, it got crushed because of this one motherfucker. Like I should have been more aggressive with him, but I was learning the car because I'd never right. driven one of these go-karts before.
Mm-hmm.
But
and there's fun. Like maybe three spots at the most where you could actually pass someone yeah. down this whole
it's
track.
A fairly curvy, it's like upper level Tyco RC racetrack if you ever play that game on Nintendo. Like very curvy tracks, you know, mm-hmm. lots of curves. But yeah, like pumping the gas was fun, like getting just the right amount of an acceleration around a corner was fun. And, mm-hmm. And they put the red blocks just ahead of a turn to tell you exactly when you need to lay off the gas so you could take the turn without, you know, spinning out.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was fun. I would do it again. Very expensive, $28 per race.
So it was like what a 5 minute race.
I have no idea.
Because time passes differently when you're in it.
It is heart beats really fast, and then you get angry, and then heart beats really fast, and then you get angry.
Did it seem like to go on for a long time, or did it seem like it was over like that?
No, it seemed like it went on for a while. We got a good four laps, and we were lucky. The race before us.
Yeah, I was watching that.
That got stopped like 8 times.
It was, yeah, they kept stopping them.
They and are like super.
Because they have switches. Have like a master remote control.
Kill switch.
And if anybody like does something stupid, everybody stops.
If you hit another car, if you spin out too much, if you hit the sides, any of those things, they will stop the race temporarily.
Yep. So we they hit a button and like everybody just slows down at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And it just kind of looks at each other like, motherfucker. But it didn't happen to us once. So the race before us, a ton of times. When we were leaving, poor Stu's friend, we like watched her talking. Like he stopped the race, the super angry guy stopped the race and was like, talking to her, like conversation.
That was kind of what I was afraid of. Yeah, that was like one of the.
But she didn't place last. That's the crazy part. Brent did. Their other friend did.
Because it was like he was like the referee or whatever.
And he was a Nazi with that thing.
He was.
He got super pissed at people, but he seemed like he pitied her. Like that's the kind of gist we got.
So it wasn't like his angry talk. It was like
no. It was like kind of smiling. Like all right. Lady, you need to get your shit together. Kind of.
We definitely saw him getting angry at people, though.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That
he like he
really
was like
pissed.
He almost threw somebody out in the race before you.
That's right. But yeah, we didn't get stopped once, so we had a great race. It was fun. I wish we had been able to race with anyone else, but the timing, like you paid and then you waited 3 or 4 races.
Yeah.
And by the time we got in, dinner took
so
fucking
long.
So
you were already like way behind schedule.
Way behind. We already had, $15 an hour adds up, right? Yeah. For a babysitter. So we were like, we gotta go. She has a life. But we were happy to get the race in. And Erica had fun, but she, you know, I think it was a lot scarier for her because people were trying to whip by her constantly.
So is it something you would do again now that you've like kind of figured it out?
Yeah, but I don't feel like the driving needs are like, I need to get back to Henrietta to do it. You know what I mean? Like, there are things that I've done. I'm like, I want to do that again immediately. This is not one of them.
Okay.
But it was fun. I don't regret doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Do you want to do some dramatic reading of?
Oh, we have dramatic stuff.
I think this might be funny. So my
what is
wife
this? Looks like an ad for something.
So my wife is if you're not aware, Erica is a sleep technologist, which I believe is made up.
I am aware of that.
Yes, you are aware of that. So, and she always, like, you would think, just a side comment here, you would think at a dinner party, which we never go to, when I tell someone, oh, yeah, I was an actor in New York, you know, I did improv for years, I met ex-celebrities as a waiter, you think I would dominate the conversation? But the minute anyone finds out what my wife does for a living, I just step back.
Because
find that infinitely
you know
more
what?
Interesting.
Because you know what, Mike? Everybody sleeps.
And everybody's bad at it.
They all have that. And everybody's bad at it.
Yeah, that's true. Like, she's constantly asked for advice.
Oh, man.
So, but she's run the gamut, too.
I've been working at it for years, and I
still can't get it right.
What am I doing wrong?
I heard you were sawing logs
everything.
On the chair.
You're doing everything wrong.
She will generally... I now sound very knowledgeable. I'm like, oh, do you often eat or watch television in bed? Yeah, that's bad sleep hygiene. You see, your bedroom is for sleep and sex. That really should be all it's for. You need to clean out all these other activities. I just steal all my material from her. But she's run the gamut, so she did.
But it's good advice. I mean, yeah.
It's legit stuff. Except for my poor friend Nero, who has, like, crippling health issues. And I told him, well, you know, he's like, I don't know what to do about this insomnia. I said, well, what my wife used to do in their research studies, they keep someone up for 2 to 3 days, and that resets them. and they can sleep. And he did that, and then it didn't work.
Oh.
And he just had been up for 3 days based on my recommendation.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I kind of stopped recommending stuff.
I have something I want to talk... Well, I'll talk to Erica about this later. But I did... Because she's the one to talk to.
Yeah, I'm just parroting back.
We only wish we could have Erica here every night.
Thank fuck you.
Yeah, sure. Ow. But I did read something, and this is a read in the sense of like I skimmed a headline that said this.
I've made that claim before.
It said there's some sort of research that think depression can be treated by sleep deprivation.
It might be part of the reset thing.
Maybe
there's a reset that happens if you keep someone up for like 3 days.
So yeah, nice. I'm giving you the don't take anything I'm saying.
You can almost take what I'm saying at my word, but you should probably ask my wife.
Yeah, or Google it. Either one.
Yeah, that because that's always legit. Go on Breitbart and read that.
Anyway, but yeah, I did read some. I read somewhere that. That if somebody is having severe depression, that sleep deprivation could be a way to treat them and get them to come out of it.
Or at cause them to commit suicide.
Yeah, either one.
It's worth the risk.
I'd roll those dice. Why not?
You know what? I'd still do that over taking drugs.
Yes.
For the record.
Yeah.
Oh, I had, just before we get to this. So what this is, what I'm holding is the American Association of Sleep Technologists. Oh, it is a real thing. Their annual conference, and they have a good, you know, scam here because you have to go periodically to get credits, so you keep your accreditation. It's one of those things. You could do stuff online, but it's just not enough.
You have
to go to one conference every 5 years minimum to be able to get the credits.
Mm-hmm.
So Eric is actually going this year, so she is, you know, looking. But she was making fun of the headlines, and I was reading them. I'm like, or the talk titles. And I'm like, these are terrible titles. So I thought we could have some fun with it.
Okay.
But I did want to say so. I have been very blessed previously to have...
Blessed.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wow. That's a word you don't use often.
I associate that with health for whatever reason. Okay. So I was blessed to find at the medical practitioner's office that I've been going to find a head nurse, not a doctor, but a head nurse who understood paleo.
Okay.
So for 2 years, I just went to him instead of the doctor. And he checked my vitals, he checked my blood work, and he, you know, we talk about the dieting, and he understood what I was doing. He understood that cholesterol is going to be elevated. The ratio of, you know, good to bad cholesterol is going to be different and better than most people. It's different, you know, different mm-hmm. considerations. And he retired. And so I had the unfortunate experience that I've been through many times of going to a new doctor who is very traditional. And she didn't, and it was, I hate this experience. I've had it so many times.
Did she tell you you were about to die?
No, she didn't look at my history. She walked in cold, took, you know, blood pressure and that kind of stuff, and then made a bunch of judgments, and then looked at my blood work, which was great, and then said exactly what I do. She goes, no joke. I told her I eat a ton of vegetables and a ton of meat. I do paleo. Mm-hmm. That's what I told her. And I said, my cholesterol is going to be high because I do paleo. No joke. And I'll show you. I have the letter. She said, after looking at the blood work, she goes, your cholesterol is kind of high. Try to eat a lot of vegetables. And I was like, ready to fucking scream. Like, this is why I hate fucking doctors who don't understand anything about anything past 20 years ago.
Medical. Well, it's not even don't understand. It's like, they she appeared not to listen to what you
well,
just
she didn't listen, and she slavishly adheres to American medical from 20 years ago. Like, there's enough evidence at this point that no one should be admitting, like, saying, do the standard American diet.
All right. And again, disclaimer, don't get your health advice.
No, you know what? Fuck that. Do it. Do get your health. Don't stick to the American fucking standard diet. Fuck that shit. Anyway, it was a very disheartening experience.
I was going to say that.
You failed.
As I understand it, and again, look it up for yourselves. Don't trust us.
Google it.
That cholesterol levels are really meaning less and less and less as far as your medical health is concerned.
Absolutely. The ratio is important. The source of the cholesterol is important. Know that if you have just lost weight, if you've dropped 5 pounds before you go to a blood, you know, if you get your blood taken, your cholesterol will be significantly higher because there's more animal fat in your system. I mean, these are, but yeah, I just read, because I got so pissed off about this, I was reading whatever the most recent research I could find was, and they said in like giant letters, for the love of God, cholesterol levels between 200 and 240 are great if your ratios are good.
Mm-hmm.
Because what people don't seem to understand is bad cholesterol is still food for your brain, literally. It carries nutrients to your brain. Like, but we've demonized things because of the fucking standard American diet bullshit. We don't understand this. So you're absolutely correct. And that's what I'm saying. 20 years ago, cholesterol was bad. It's just cholesterol bad. Your cholesterol is over 200, it's bad. You're going to die.
Yes.
Take statins.
Yes.
But that's not the way they're viewing it now because they understand more.
Right.
My ratio is the lower part of low. So I am one, I have a fit, my HDL is 58. At 59, they say your coronary heart disease risk plummets. So I'm on the very upper end of HDL just before it becomes like, you're going to live forever. And your cholesterol ratio is, cholesterol ratio is so low.
You're almost going to live forever. I'm almost.
So I'll live like 1,000.
You're on your way.
When 900 years old, your age look as good, you will not. I finished Clone Wars.
Oh. Was it a happy ending?
they all died.
Oh, okay.
As an aside, I thought this was very interesting. So they said they were taking it off of Netflix on March 7th.
Oh.
And it had been my like, I had been planning on finishing Clone Wars so that I was finally caught up on like Rogue One, which I watched
mm-hmm.
half a year ago. And so I like made a concerted effort and almost did it and then failed. I got through the original 5 seasons and the extra half season that Netflix did, mm-hmm. The Lost Missions. I couldn't finish in time.
Oh.
And then it didn't leave. They just forgot to take that. They had clearly redone the contract and didn't take the deadline off.
Okay.
So I just watched The Lost Missions, and it was interesting because what those 13 episodes did was try to fill a bunch of holes from the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
So they explained why Yoda was on Dagobah, why no one was coming back as a ghost in the prequel trilogy, but why they could do it in the original trilogy.
That's weird.
They explained where the clones came from. They explained Order 66 and like how it worked exactly and how it got there. I thought that was really interesting. Just these 13 episodes were very much trying to close these plot holes. So I would say if you didn't like the prequel trilogy, you really should still watch Clone Wars because the cartoon is night and day and it gets better and better. Just like Rebels is getting better and better as it goes.
Is Rebels still going? Okay.
Oh my God. Darth Maul and Obi-Wan rematch.
You got a creepy look in your eye
now.
Yeah.
the mid-season trailer, I'm waiting. I'm dying for this. Darth Maul and Obi-Wan rematch on Tatooine because Darth Maul's not dead.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
You have to get by it because he's such a great villain. Like he's he is Shakespearean level villain. By once they get past his he's still alive bullshit. He's great because he's what takes the show both Clone Wars and Rebels actually. He's what takes that show from children's territory into killing children territory. It's like this is adult now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty great. He's a pretty great villain. And I think he makes both of those shows better. Because the same guy did both shows, David Filoni. Anyway, you check out Clone Wars. If you're not watching Rebels, for the love of God, watch it.
All right. What am I reading here?
Let me find the pages. So pick a talk, read the headline, pick a voice, read the headline, give a dramatic reading of the description.
All right. G17, trends in sleep technology, and AST needs assessment on the state of the sleep industry. God, this is going to put people to sleep right here.
You're not doing it dramatic enough.
I'm sorry. all right, let's try this again.
Did you read all the bullets
I just read that was the description. That was the title. That was just the title.
All right, hold on. Wait, cut. Take a step back. Smike, right. I get it. You're getting into character here. But
I'm thinking sleep, you know.
Okay.
Calm, soothing.
Okay.
Am I going the wrong direction?
You're not going nearly far enough. If you're thinking sleep, you are at war with sleep. Sleep is nipping at your heels.
I feel it.
Do you feel the motivation?
Yeah, I gotta kill sleep.
Fuck sleep, but you're losing the battle against it.
Oh no, sleep!
Go.
Summarize the state of the sleep technology landscape! Identify issues or challenges identified within sleep centers and practices! I will identify the fuck out of them for you. Discuss identified education and training needs for sleep center staff. The staff of destruction.
Your face is red.
Discuss how the AST can assist with educational needs identified. And you will strike down the AST with your mighty staff.
Heracles. So was that like all the bullet points underneath that you were reading?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, did I get the part? No. I can tell by your eyes.
Don't call us, we'll call you.
Yeah. All right, you're taking too long to pick one here.
I was just skimming them. All right. G21, does consistency really matter when scoring respiratory events? Byron Jamerson, RPGST, RSTCLSH. Understand the autonomy and physiology behind each type of respiratory event, period. Recognize the various types of respiratory events based on the patient's medical history. I mean, come on. Differentiate scoring respiratory events based on the patient's age, semicolon, and compare and contrast respiratory events recorded on a home sleep apnea test versus in-lab polysomnogram. Dropping the mic.
All right. There's a lot of saliva on this page now. Thank you for that.
I recommend not closing the pages for at least 12 hours.
All right. Let's give this one a shot. Sleep 2017, Industry Product Theaters. Listen as Sleep 2017 exhibitors provide information regarding their products or services.
I wish people could see your eyebrows.
To attendees during special one-hour presentations. 1 hour of asked CEC credit will be awarded for participation in these sessions.
Is there another page?
I am going to sign up for these. I want my asked credit.
Dude, I think people should be paying us to increase their sign-ups. Is there a day one? All right. All right, I'm just going to pick one. I'm not going to pick that one because that would, it's just, it's weird.
What? All right.
Titrating the pediatric patient. What to know? Explain techniques to use to set up pediatric patients on a PAP therapy. Identify desensitization techniques in pediatric patients. And discuss masks and mask fitting in pediatric patients. Masks! Why don't I get any
asks? I thought you were going for Batman until you did the laugh.
Yeah, I was trying to go to a horror movie, but I was doing a Batman voice.
You were doing Batman and then horror Batman.
Horror, it was a little weird. Batman.
Horror Batman.
Horror Batman.
Horror Batman.
Horror. Horror Batman.
That's probably the part about the masks. I mean, that was, you know.
I was going a different... Do you want me to go back?
No. No, it was too late. The moment's gone.
The ship has passed.
This is dry shit, man.
It is really dry shit. Wow, that's like some hardcore Price hardware nice. Porn of a CPAP machine.
Top 10 things to do in Boston. Hey, have you ever been to Boston?
Yes. I went to PAX East.
Did you walk the Freedom Trail?
A little bit.
All right. Did you visit Fenway Park?
Not at all, but I don't give a shit.
It seems really cold to do that. When is this thing?
Later.
Oh, it's in June. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, sure. Visit Fenway Park in June. Yeah. Why the fuck not? Explore the Boston Public Library. That sounds boring as shit.
Are there ghosts?
I would hope so.
Okay, then I'm down.
Stroll through the Boston Common / Public Garden.
Do I have to stroll or can I like...
No, you have to stroll.
I'm not down with that.
You can't jog, you can't walk.
Homie, don't stroll.
You could saunter. I think that would be acceptable.
Can I mince?
I don't know. There's a statue of a horse, so I'm going to say yes. Going to say yes on the mincing.
Can I prancercise?
No.
Well, fuck. As long as I can mince.
Okay. Mincing is fine. Check out Fanwheel. How the fuck do you pronounce that? Fanwheel Hall Marketplace? I don't know.
Is that just a mall?
It's like an outdoor marketplace.
Oh,
I assume you can buy stuff. Explore the Fitzgerald Kennedy Greenway, which I guess is another way of saying park.
I think I've been on the Greenway.
Or Greenway.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing. to say.
Well, it's like the elevated gardens now. Like, it's weird the way cities are rejuvenating, like, old industrial and mass transit stuff.
I guess. Anyway, the Greenway. Visit the Boston Harbor Islands.
Boston Harbor.
Boston Harbor. Boston Harbor Islands. Shop the outlets at Assembly Row.
I think I've been there.
It looks like it's just outlet stores. You can do that anywhere.
Yeah, you can go to Waterloo.
Explore Cambridge. No.
Just all of Cambridge. Just explore all of Cambridge.
Try not to step on nerds. shop and dine at the Boston Public Market.
How many?
Or dine at Boston Market.
Erica will not do that.
That's the abbreviated version.
Erica has a distinct hatred of Boston Market. It's been a running joke with us for years. I just made that joke a couple days ago on the way to Sticky Lips, actually. All right. Asked is done. We're tapping out on asked.
Your asked is grassed.
Degrassed-y high.
That's gone too far there.
Did I?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, I don't think that meant anything to anyone.
Goddamn millennials. Your podcast name is the Stolen Dress Entertainment. Buddies in Space.
Buddies in Space.
Shit. Enemies in Space. No, fuck. Fucked it up again.
Buddies in Space
is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, books. That's all I got.
Did you say videos?
I did.
All right. I want to make sure.
Hey, remember when we did that TV pilot that we never aired?
Yeah.
I never got the video.
It's over a year ago. 2 years ago?
If we keep waiting, we'll be able to still make it timely because the next Star Wars movie for episode 8. Yeah.
Oh, well. So you've been watching I'm still behind on Legion. I've seen like previews for episodes and it looks really cool.
It's the perfect show.
Okay.
I think Erica wants to have sex with both the main character and the director. I'm pretty sure. And you know what? I don't blame her because they're both really good.
But it looks like it was really messed up and...
it's right on the cusp of making sense. So, you know it has to get really messed up to get to that point.
And you're saying that is a selling point. To me, it is.
Well, so to completely talk in non-specifics, the brilliance of that show, right? So, you know, you, Smike, better than most people know my love of juxtaposition. Right. You know, I love supernatural stuff in mundane settings. You know, I love, you know, Zoolander did this. They did celebrities acting against types. So it's people that, you know, I love that kind of stuff. This takes a dyed-in-the-wool superhero pantheon, right, mythology, and makes it about mental illness. And the brilliant thing is more and more as the show has gone on in the first, I think it's been 4 episodes, you are made very, very carefully. You are made to question what is real that you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And the less you're getting the perspective of the main character and the more you're learning about the other characters, the more you're wondering, is any of this real?
Right.
Like, you could be in, this could be, the dude could be in a closet the entire show. You have no fucking clue because it's so weird. But they are right on the cusp of not only explaining things, but it looks like they're going to be bringing like real X-Men shit in. And like so the X-Men geeks would be like, oh, I'm pushing my glasses up as I say that.
You did.
That's the thing with the one thing. So it's brilliant because the cinematography is amazing. The set dressing, the mise-en-scène is so deliberate.
Yeah. Even in the pilot. Well,
especially in the pilot. Yeah. Oh, and Flicky Guy came back. You'll be happy to know. So super overpowered Flicky Guy is back. And he's still super overpowered. Although actually in the scenario he's in, no. But I'm still like, how could anything bad ever happen to this dude? He's so ridiculously overpowered. flick of the wrist. But yeah, it's really, really on the cusp. I think that's like the selling point of the next episode, maybe two, is that you're going to actually know what the fuck's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality or unreality of it.
Yeah, it's even especially in the pilot, there were so many moments where like, is this a real person? Is that is this a real place?
Well, because again, you have, there's a 50s mod aesthetic and then there's flat screen TVs. And there's a constant juxtaposition, very deliberate, of old and new. And
then the scene where they're like, in the scene where he's talking to, I guess, his mom or whatever, or somebody,
sister.
In the meeting room, I guess.
Yep.
And there are these like two people.
The monitors.
And you're like, what is their deal?
Mm-hmm. Because what he sees with them doing is different than what they're doing in the background of every other scene. But that's the thing, is it's all deliberate. And it's so fucking smart. But also, and I will give credit to Misfits for doing this first. Misfits did what I call the post-postmodern superhero, which is, what if not great people got kind of shitty powers? So, you know, Miller, Alan Moore and all them did the postmodern, what kind of sociopathic pathos does a superhero have to put on a cape and fight crime, right? Mm-hmm. It's a big deal. But now I've seen more and more this kind of like, what if the powers aren't great? What if the person isn't stable? Mm-hmm. Those kind of things. So I view that, I don't know, I'm making this up, but the post-postmodern kind of take on it. And this does this in spades. Either the powers don't make sense initially on purpose, mm-hmm. or they don't seem that great. there's a lot of that. There's a lot of, I don't think I'd want that power. And Misfits did it. Did you ever watch Misfits with us?
No.
That is a brilliant show. The first like three seasons of that show are perfection. Juvenile delinquents get shitty powers and are all horny and shitty people. Go. And the way they get their powers is really dumb and not very well explained, because they know it does not fucking matter. Everything that comes after that is what you care about. But yeah, this show does everything about the modern sensibility of what a superhero show would need to be to stand out. It does it really well.
All right. Go watch Legion.
Go watch Legion. And watch Misfits for, you know, the first three seasons.
And watch The Lost Room.
Oh, wow. Where'd that come from?
Shitty, weird powers. Things okay. with... Except with, you know, this Lost Room being objects instead of people.
Yeah, but if you possess the object.
Yeah.
We need to watch that. I need to watch that again. That was a great miniseries.
Yeah. Lost Room. Legion. Misfits.